With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
304 DGS, happy Wednesday to you. We are all off tomorrow because Cardinals baseball. Pre-game's at 2 o'clock, right? 2:10, something like that?
I think pre-game's at 1:10. And then
Rach was my producer forever. And Rach knew everything. And now that she's no longer the producer, I just looked at her and she made the face like,
Don't look at me.
I
believe it's 1:10 pre-game, 2:10 first pitch.
They'll figure it out.
And then is there something after that?
I mean, there's a post game, but I don't know when that starts because it starts when the game
bottom
ends.
Bottom line is we're not here.
Yeah. The Cardinals are going to win.
And post game starts when the game is over.
And Trish is off Friday for her birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thanks.
So for your birthday, you're going to the dentist.
I'm going to the dentist. I'm going to hang out with Pat and Larry.
Nice.
They're going to make me dinner.
Can I do that on my birthday coming
sure,
up?
Sure, come over and hang out. I really do need to plan like a day for you guys to come over.
I would love it.
For lunch or dinner. That would be
It'd
awesome.
Be fun.
Yeah, my mom loved when you guys
if
came over.
If we can get together a Lebanese feast for you guys, I'll see
Ooh, yeah.
who can I grab the sisters and help out on that and set it up for you guys.
Cool. Trisha Clock.
It's Trisha Clock somewhere.
The funniest thing is Rachel's got her hands in her jeans like when people do the two-step.
I'm line dancing.
Every time.
You know, people say, like, I'm going to a happy place. I'm going to any place. I'm going to bad memories. I'm going to abusive relationships. Like, anything to take me away.
Unlocking repressed memories to not look at me.
Yeah. Like, let's bubble this up for a while.
Pointing the fingers up.
Trisha Clock is just my segment, and it could be different every day. And today, I'm picking Week in Review. This is the, like, stuff in history and birthdays that have happened. Actually, midweek in review. It's brought to you by the Good Feet Store, comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. Some birthdays that will make you feel old. Ralph Malf, Donnie Most is 69 today. I mean, on Monday. And Larry Wilcox, you know, Ponch's
Chips.
Partner. Yeah, on Chips. What was his name? Ponch and
Chip.
Larry.
Was it Larry?
No.
I kind of felt like it was Larry.
It just says Ponch's partner. Oh, John Baker. John Baker. Anyway, he's 75. Dustin Hoffman, 85.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. He really was in some good movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tootsie's underrated. Rain Man. What else was he in that was good?
Kramer versus Kramer.
Kramer versus Kramer. That scared me as a kid.
Really?
You know, not a lot of people were divorced then. Mm. I probably couldn't name anyone in my class. And it was like, oh my God, what is happening here? Like, is this a possibility?
Do you remember
That's
that
a sad movie?
Mm-hmm, it really is.
Remember that horse racing show he was on a few years ago that they had to stop making because they kept killing all the horses? Luck.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was a show about like
the horse racing
and horse betting industry, and then they like real horses kept dying on the show, so they just had to cancel it altogether.
Did he have a Me Too thing?
I didn't
feel like he kind of had something.
I feel like it was like not a huge deal, yeah. But he got caught up in it somehow.
Or maybe he got a pass because
I'm gonna try.
You know,
Dustin
some people
Hoffman
got past it. Some it just I don't know. Some people were bigger deals than others, and I don't know
he
that
has
line.
Multiple sexual assault allegations.
There you go.
Oh, interesting.
But despite that, he's doing just fine.
And he's 85.
According to this article.
53 years ago this week in 1969, the Beatles did the photo shoot for the cover of their Abbey Road album. And then cool. Paul Very McCartney cool. had his daughter film him crossing it again in 2018.
What was the story about that just now, that they keep getting the address wrong, so now yeah. they just yeah. you have to
they,
just like
they
type
send
in
people to the wrong place.
Yeah, so you just have to type into Google like Beatles Abbey Road crosswalk.
You go to the wrong one. 42 years ago, this is sad, in 1980, the Olivia Newton-John movie Xanadu was released.
Xanadu.
Means so much
do,
to you.
I loved Xanadu. It was a big box office flop. But it became like a cult thing afterwards.
It became really big in the roller
yeah.
skating
yeah.
industry.
In Lake of the Woods.
Gazelle basement.
2001, and we really haven't figured out what happened here. Tom Cruise, not that we should, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman divorced after 10 years of marriage. That was always such a mystery. I mean, we heard it was about his religion, Scientology, but nobody ever confirmed that.
And they have those famous photos of her leaving the divorce lawyer's office being like, yes. Have you seen those?
No.
Yeah, they're pretty funny.
Mm-mm.
2012, the reality show Here Comes Honey Boo Boo debuted.
I saw that yesterday, 10 years ago.
How bad for her.
I know.
The whole family, really.
Talk about a kid who never really had a chance. Whenever yeah. you're starting out on Toddlers and Tiaras as like the loser, basically, of the joke. Mm-hmm. And then you have your own show, Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, and the whole concept is just, look at us, we're Hoosiers. Like, it's really, really tough to grow up like that.
And then it got so much worse, because remember, Mama June had the, like, boyfriend who was, like...
A pedophile,
but, yeah. like, she refused to break up with him, even though they were like, but you have children that he's around. Yeah. Ugh. Horrible.
What a mess.
Whitney Houston would have been 59 this week. And I only say that so I can tell you my story of my second concert. My first concert was 1984, the Go-Go's at the Muni. Yeah,
that's
it was
cool.
The Smurfs. My second concert was 1986, and it was Whitney Houston at the Muni.
That's cool. Ooh.
And that was the Saving All My Love days, Saving All My Love for You. But that night, it was my mom and me and then a neighbor and her mom. And we went to Ted Drew's afterwards, and we got home, and I got sick. I just had Ted Drew's all over my bed, and I found out I had mono and missed the first 2 weeks of eighth grade.
Yeah.
Man.
Such a memory.
I was terrified and yet prayed for mono, because it meant I had kissed a girl. You know what I mean?
Well, like, that's what sucked about it, yeah. because everyone's like, ooh, who'd you kiss? I'm like, nobody. I didn't even know what it meant.
Never even heard of kissing.
No, but they called it the kissing disease, yeah. but you could get it from not kissing people.
As Trish told everyone.
Well, you're sure selling that hard after 35 years.
It was embarrassing. I had to lay on the couch for a week because my liver and my spleen were enlarged. Ooh. And they told me not to walk because it could burst.
Wow.
It's very traumatic.
Why do you just...
What?
Try to be sexy all the time like this. You don't think people see through it?
She's so mysterious.
She had
mono,
spleen.
But not from kissing.
I didn't.
Oh, God, she had to lay on a couch because of her swollen organs.
I swear if you brought up I had mono in eighth grade, they'd be like, oh, she was kissing somebody this day.
Somebody tells me your dad wouldn't say that.
Who is
no,
they?
My mom. Like my mom and my sisters. Yeah, my dad. She was kissing somebody.
Trish was smooching.
Melanie Griffith, 65 this week. Sam Elliott, 78. I'm sorry. He
feels
still
like he's been 78 for like 20 years.
Yeah. He really does. Yeah. 53 years ago this week, in 1969, pregnant actress Sharon Tate and five others were found murdered in the home she shared with her husband, Roman Polanski. Charles Manson and his followers were later convicted of the murders. That was a big deal, obviously. I mean, even through my childhood, that yeah. and the story, and I'm sorry, there it was a Jeffrey McDonald, and I think that was his name. He was in the army, and his wife was murdered.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't think of the guy who played him in that movie.
He was the same guy that played yes. the boss in Office Space.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I can't think of his name.
Yeah. Oh, John. Oh, oh, oh.
It was like that was a story too, because that movie was always shown on Lifetime.
Do you remember?
And the Betty Broderick
are
story.
You, I love the Betty Broderick story.
That is a good story.
Starring the mom
Meredith Baxter Moody.
Yeah, that's a great one.
It is. That's a great one.
Are you old enough to remember what's the lady that was killing the babies in Alton?
Not Susan Smith.
No, no.
I don't
remember. We did this once before.
We did, and I don't
Someone
remember her name.
Us. Yeah. That was a huge story back like when I was a teenager.
I don't know if you
Paula
say
Sims.
Her name. Oh, yes. I do remember that. Was that the car drowning or no?
That's,
I'm thinking of Susan Smith.
One.
Okay. 48 years ago in 1974, Richard Nixon became the first president to resign from office, and Vice President Gerald Ford was sworn in. So do you... What are your thoughts? Do you remember that at all?
Vaguely. Yeah. I remember it going on. I remember the big deal about the tape and the secretary who had, like, there's a gap in the tape. I remember all that. My mom and dad were real into it because my mom and dad were staunch Union Democrats and, you know, hated Nixon.
Some more birthdays. Antonio Banderas. Oh, the same week as Melanie.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, 62. Rosanna Arquette, 63. And if you didn't know, Toto named Rosanna after her.
Because she had
briefly dated their keyboard player. So the song isn't about her, but she was the inspiration for the title. And she was also the inspiration for another song because she had a brief fling with Peter Gabriel. So that inspired him to write In Your Eyes.
Wow.
Which, of course, we know from Say Anything when John Cusack holds the boombox up. Very iconic.
I like the name Rosanna. That's a cute name.
Mm-hmm.
Trish had sugar again, didn't she?
Yeah, I gave her some M&M's.
And the brownies M&M's. You guys got me. Why? Is this too over the top?
No, I like it. I like this, Trish.
And she had a sip of the Sour Patch Kids energy drink.
So I said, do you want a soda? He said, no, I got this energy drink, Sour Patch energy drink, which is gross, and I hated it when I first had it. And I was like, so why'd you get another one?
Look, sometimes
I just gotta
make myself suffer. Sometimes I just gotta feel a little pain. So it's like, you know what? If I don't like, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll like it the second time around.
This is Andrew's equivalent to flogging himself.
Yeah.
Drinking Sour Patch energy drink.
It's an act of self-flagellation.
Talk about Andrew flogging himself. It's all the same.
Okay, sorry.
In 1821, that would be 201 years ago. And I like the description they used for this. Missouri became the 24th state. Missouri is the birthplace of Mark Twain and the home of both the Pony Express Museum and the world-famous St. Louis Gateway Arch, and Nelly.
I hate
and Nelly.
I just hate that we've gotten such a bad reputation.
Yeah, you know? I know.
Whatever. People don't know what they're talking about.
Everyone who comes here loves it.
Yeah, Missouri's cool.
Anytime people come to St. Louis, they love it. Specifically. Two Michael Jackson things in history this week. So 43 years ago in 1979, he released his fifth album, Off the Wall. That's Rock With You, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. And then in 1985, he paid $47.5 million for a catalog of the Beatles songs, which included 251 songs written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney, beating Paul McCartney's offer. And I believe they were in a fight about that. But could you imagine what that would go for today?
I still can't believe the Beatles let him outbid them. That's crazy.
So they had a chance to come.
Oh, yeah. They had the money. They were the Beatles.
They just let it go?
Yeah.
But they're kicking themselves, huh? Last one, 20 years ago in 2002, Nicolas Cage married Lisa Marie Presley. He filed for divorce by Thanksgiving.
Wow, so how did I not know about that?
Remember the weird kiss? Michael Jackson, Lisa Marie.
Yeah, it was
like
so
the Grammys
odd.
Or something.
Yeah, on stage, because nobody really believed like it was a romantic relationship. And back to Nicolas Cage, he had a thing about Elvis.
Yes.
Right? And
that's
he was
weird.
Even leaving Las Vegas with all the Elvises. Yeah. And it was a very weird union. Didn't last. That's it.
Good finish.
I know. I should have ended on a better one.
323 DGS. Brian's here from the newsroom. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Welcome back, everybody.
Yeah. So you had like vacation, COVID vacation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was out 3 weeks.
Dang.
I had to put the Jeep, the address to the station and GPS.
Yeah.
And then I wore a name tag when I got back. No, I didn't.
That's nice, isn't it? To have a little break like
that. It was nice.
Little refresher.
The COVID wasn't fun, but the rest of it was pretty nice.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So I was driving in today and I almost called these guys like the newsroom wouldn't be on a giant fire you can see from our windows. But I didn't know what it was. I still kind of don't know what it was. So what went on?
It's a recycling plant. It's called Interco Recycling, and it's in a couple of 100-year-old buildings at least, in Madison, Illinois. Now, if you're familiar with that area, you go over the Broadway overpass, which takes you over about six railroad tracks sets. And it's just a little bit north of there. And it started in one building and then spread to the one in front of it. And if you have Twitter and look at my Twitter feed at BRPKELLY or the KMOX News Twitter, you'll see some amazing video because that's the first building you couldn't see a whole lot, but the second building, which was untouched when I got there, eventually you could see smoke start coming out of the roof, and then within 20, 25 minutes, it was completely filled with fire, and there was magnesium burning in there, which burns a really bright, bright yellow. You can't even hardly look at it. It was so bright, and so it destroyed these two buildings. The whole time, there are explosions. Small pops. It sounded like a fireworks display because of all the electronics in there. Batteries. Also, of course, a lot of forklifts with propane tanks. And even now, while pretty much everything that can burn has burned, pretty much, they're still pouring water on some parts of it, or actually a lot of it, and the magnesium every now and then will explode. And you'll see a fireball, and it'll spark, and then white smoke comes out.
Mm.
A plume of white smoke. So it was an amazing fire. There is a shelter-in-place order in effect for the mile radius around the plant because what's in the smoke, you know? And they're not saying what's in there, but it's apparently not good.
Yeah.
So, and then one worker got hurt, apparently got burned, but don't know his or her condition, don't know what started the fire.
I mean, that's terrible for that person and their family, but that's amazing that only one person.
Yeah.
Is this the biggest fire you've seen?
I would say, I'm trying to think, and I had one in Kansas City that was really big and exciting, but I don't know that I've seen one quite as big as this.
Yeah.
I mean, that second building went, and it was amazing how much fire was in that building. And again, you got constant explosions, and firefighters from as far away. Now, this is in Madison, Illinois. Waterloo came in, and as far away as Metro West, Ladue, Kirkwood, Florissant, Hazelwood, Blackjack, Spanish Lake. I mean, they came from everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, and there's a lumber yard right next to it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they were able to keep the fire from spreading to the lumber yard. So that was good.
Did you cover the Praxair thing?
No, I was off that day. Or actually, I got off of work and I was home.
Am I making this up that they were like those gas cylinders and they were like blowing up and shooting off like rockets and stuff?
Yeah, I didn't see any of that today. I think everything that blew up in the building.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like out in the yard where it was all flying around like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and across the street. So again, I'm two streets and about six sets of railroad tracks away from this building, probably 100 yards. It's melting the siding on the house, and then there's a rehab center right there. It's melting the siding on it.
Could you feel it?
Oh, yeah. It was really hot for a while. And the one guy I talked to was the former fire chief, the retired fire chief in Madison. And he said, you know, there was nothing much they could do because of the electronics. You can't just pour water on it. And so they kind of had to let it burn a little bit, you know, and figure out how we're going to handle this. And it was basically let it burn and then control the aftermath.
You can't pour water on burning electronics?
Some of it you can't because it releases chemicals and explodes and things like that. So there's all
Thank
kinds
God
of different.
Thank God for people who know these things.
I know.
Yeah. 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 It's not just pouring water on a fire. That's for sure. So, yeah, it was very interesting. And you know, again, this, you know, the people are not allowed to, you know, you're not supposed to have your air conditioner on. You're supposed to have the windows closed and stay in your house for the next until they issue the warning. And I heard the siren go off and it goes off for about 3 minutes. And then the voice comes on, you know, which is always kind of eerie. And,
yeah, that's scary.
Shelter in place.
Wow.
It's like, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Well, thank goodness it's on a nice day like this instead of last week, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No firefighters, as far as I know, were injured. But if you have 107 or 105 mm-hmm. heat index, you're going to have probably twice as many firefighters there.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate
you're
it.
You're very welcome.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 335. Real excited to talk to Ari. Ari Fleischer, everyone knows him. He was the former White House press secretary for President Bush. His new book is Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias, Why the Press Gets So Much Wrong and Doesn't Care. Ari, very nice to meet you. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So you and I are pretty close to the same age within a few years, and I have people on my show who are just turning 30, and I sound like an old man, but I tell them, like, kids, the world wasn't always like this. And so I want to get into topics of the day, but let's start 30,000-foot view. You've been inside of this for so long. What the hell happened? Why does it feel like the wheels are coming off everything from the press to the FBI to the DOJ? Like, we're losing faith in everything.
Yeah, what a great question. Look, the wheels are not coming off our country. The wheels aren't coming off the American people. The wheels are coming off some of the entities inside the government that we want to believe in and trust. But I also think it's fair to say, let's watch the way these wheels turn. If you're asking me now specifically about the raid on Mar-a-Lago, I am prepared to say that either DOJ's got the goods and they found a smoking gun on Donald Trump of an unbelievably serious nature, or the Attorney General and the FBI Director are going to resign in disgrace.
I couldn't agree more.
There's nothing in between. So either they got the goods and took this extraordinary step because when they explain it to us, we're going to nod our head and go, whoa, I didn't see that one coming.
So, Ari,
guys really overplayed their hand.
Which would be more shocking and jarring to you, that a former president of the United States did something that would justify this raid, or that all the way up as high as you can go in the DOJ, they just got it wrong? Which would surprise you more?
Well, here's the scenario I think you have to look at. Either they are just such stubborn law enforcement officials that they go, he's got documents, he didn't return the documents, he should have, we're in charge, nobody can defy us, his people deceived us, we're coming in with our guns blazing, we're taking our damn documents. And there are some stubborn law enforcement people that can think like that and put on blinders. Is this the case? Maybe. Or is it possible that the president, when he left the White House, swept up a bunch of classified secret documents? And I'm not talking about the love letter between him and Kim Jong-un, something that really is hard. It doesn't matter. Did he sweep up something that was militarily sensitive, intelligence sensitive? He had it at Mar-a-Lago, and he won't give it back. And his staff is deceiving the government. Is that why they took this extraordinary step? That's the only legitimate reason I could think DOJ would have done something this foolish, this risky, this high profile. Otherwise, these guys have to resign.
So, go ahead. I
try to be fair and open-minded and think what could possibilities be. And that's the only two things I can think of. Resign in disgrace, or they got the goods over something that Trump took with him that was such extraordinarily sensitivity that he shouldn't have taken it.
So, Ari, I use this analogy a lot. You're going to get it. When you're playing pickup basketball with the guys on the Saturday and everyone's taking it seriously and everyone's guarding their man, and then you get tired three or four games in, someone throws up a half-court hook shot and all the rules are off, and now you're just being silly. So that seems to be the difference between when you were in the White House with President Bush and now. It seems like at some point someone threw up a half-court hook shot and now we're all just doing whatever we feel like.
Well, a lot's changed since I was in the White House. The press has gotten worse. The press has become more activist. The press has abandoned pursuit of objectivity and neutrality in way too many instances. Social media has given reporters license to let their opinions rip. And reporters really don't have a fealty to objectivity and neutrality the way they used to. There's a whole new younger generation of reporters, especially on social justice stories, who think their job is to make change, not to report facts. And things have just changed. You know, media is so different. Things are meaner. Things are rougher. But our country is always, and I'll always come back to this, the American people are not like that. American people don't pay that much attention to politics. We do when we're supposed to, when we don't like it. But our lives are still good, fundamental, decent lives of law-abiding people.
Yeah, I believe that's true. But I hate that what goes on when I go home at night and turn on my cable news makes me doubt that. You know what I mean?
And that's because cable news' job is to play to the edges. It's to highlight the things that go wrong, and we really get a full dose of it. You know, back when I was the White House press secretary, cable mattered, but it didn't matter that much. The networks were still the biggest things. Cable has really come on in those 20 years. So it is a bit different. And there are issues we know about now. Crime is rising. Crime is a serious problem. But I still make the case that for 95% of the American people, we know that we are good people. This is a good country. Most people are law-abiding. We're just going through a phase of polarization in the government right now. And we're also going through a phase of pushing back against a lot of people who have done things for their way for a long time, and they don't like the pushback.
Ari, most of us will only know the White House from movies or if we go on and we take a tour in D.C. What was it like being there, having the ear of the president and being so important, such an integral part of the administration back then?
Well, I would hesitate to say I was important. I just have to go to a podium and speak. And my job was to say what the president was doing and why he was doing it, and I loved it. I loved standing my ground at that podium, dealing with a liberal press corps. I loved being where the front page was going to be made before anybody knew it was on the front page. And it was a weighty era. You know, September 11th, two wars, the anthrax attacks. You know, I was a firsthand witness to so much of history, and it was in so many ways the best job I'll ever hold.
What was President Bush like? Like, we all know the story, but just personally, guy to guy, what was he like?
Great guy. Just a wonderful boss. Very uplifting, towel cracking, towel slapping, but in a way that really motivated you. You never wanted to let him down. You knew you were going to work hard. But he kept things light, he kept things moving, and he kept things honest. Just a good, good guy.
So, Ari, when you watch the press secretaries now, just since you have, stepped down from the job, and especially today, like in the last few years, do you feel bad for them? Do you watch what's going on and you go, oh, man, this would have sucked? Or, you know, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think the press was brutal to Donald Trump and terribly unfair, which is why I wrote the book that I just wrote, Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias. I think Donald Trump's press secretaries were held to an impossible standard. They did work for a tough guy. It would not have been easy to be Donald Trump's press secretary. But still, the press corps went into resistance mode. They never gave Donald Trump a chance. They seized on how many false stories that they had to retract later, from collusion to the Steele dossier and all the derivatives thereof, and just were on a full blast against Donald Trump. It's as if they decided that their role in American society was no longer to report the news and facts to the people and let the people decide, but their role was to save the republic from Donald Trump. And that is not their role. So being a press secretary for Donald Trump was entirely different from being a press secretary for George W. Bush, even though the press was very hostile to George Bush. It was just, it's a difference of many degrees. And looking now for Joe Biden, what an easy job to be Biden's press secretary. I mean, they've turned on Biden a bit since the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, but still, it's so much easier to be a Democratic press secretary than a Republican press secretary in any administration.
Ari, if you could go into the press room and talk to the press and the press secretaries and they would listen to you, what would you tell them? Like, what advice would you give from your experiences?
Well, the first thing I'd say to the press is stop using all these anonymous sources. Every time you use an anonymous source and shield these people, you are doing your readers a great injustice. You just are counting on everybody to accept your version. And this is exactly why you got collusion wrong. It's why you got the Steele dossier wrong. It's why you led America down a false path for 3 years because you believed your anti-Trump anonymous sources. And then did you apologize? Did you tell everybody you got it wrong? No, you just kind of swept it under the rug and went on to the next. And you wonder why most Americans now no longer trust the press. The mainstream media is in decline and in denial, while conservative media is booming. And that's what I wish the mainstream media would understand. They have done this to themselves. And they also just need to stop being so biased, to stop deceiving readers and viewers by putting false information on the air, suppressing information that would have hurt Joe Biden and helped Donald Trump. They just need to be fair, be objective, go back to what journalism is supposed to be.
So the book is Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias, Why the Press Gets So Much Wrong and Doesn't Care, by Ari Fleischer. Ari, I hope you come back again sometime. It was really nice talking to you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You bet. 552 DGS and KMOX. Tomorrow we are off for Cardinals baseball. We will be back on Friday, but not Trish because it's her birthday. Rach, tell me about this video of a grandma.
Okay, so there's an Australian woman who passed away back in February. Her name was Oma, and she was living with her grandchildren and their children because she had dementia. And her grandson and his wife decided to not only watch out for her, but they were going to film the process and basically filmed the entirety of taking care of her. The thing that went viral was they wanted to let her still do her little routines, even though it would have been like kind of dangerous for her to go to the store. So they created like a cardboard store and things that she could buy, and they filmed that and it went viral. And that's how people came to know Oma. But then now they're putting out a documentary that was shot basically entirely on their iPhones about their caregiving process with her and about the end of her life. And I thought it was really sweet. But then I also thought, I bet there's a lot of people out there who have a problem with this, too. Like, you're almost exploiting the person with dementia a little bit.
Boy, I have a real thumb on the scale for not doing that, because my dad died with Alzheimer's and spent years not knowing who anyone was. And I took care of him, but not nearly like my mom and my brother and my sister. My brother moved from Arizona, moved into the room where he slept as a child. And he and my mom and my sister took care of my dad. And so anything like that, that would in any way exploit or make fun of, I would just be furious. But from your description, it sounds...
Yeah, they said they asked themselves every step of the way, like, would she be okay with this if she knew it was going on? And if the answer was yes, then they would film it. If the answer was no, they wouldn't. I'm just wondering how many families it would help to see a process like
that
play out.
I was
going to
say, if I found myself in that situation and we were at the very beginning stages and I saw a movie like that, I would appreciate, I think, just getting an idea of what was ahead.
I know,
but I can see both sides.
When
honestly.
We went through it, and so many people out there listening have been through it, you're just shocked at how brutal it is. And it's different for everyone, like every disease is. But the sundowning, you know, that you hear about is real. I remember when my dad ended up in the geriatric psych ward at, I think, St. Anthony's, one of those in Alton. He'd just become like unmanageable. And so I went to see him after the show. And he was in like a wheelchair and like a straitjacket. Mm-hmm. And like ever seeing your dad like that is insane.
I can't imagine.
And he was like growling and biting on a washcloth. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And it was like the clouds parted. And my dad had the bluest eyes, like Paul Newman eyes. And he stopped and he dropped the washcloth out of his mouth. And he looked at me and he said, "Dave, this has to be a nightmare." And I was just like, "Dad?" And then he went right back. Crazy.
Mm. So crazy.
Yeah, just so crazy. Something like that, like, as long as they're doing it tastefully.
Yeah, the film is called Everyone's Oma, and it's going to be released worldwide on September 21st for World Alzheimer's Day. So, something to keep an eye on.
I think I told you guys that they think that decades of Alzheimer's research has been tainted because one of the foundational studies they did was faked.
Like decades
ago,
crushing.
The doctor who did it, who's always been exalted as the father of Alzheimer's, literally faked the data.
That's crushing, especially that, you know, I just saw something in our prep, and I'm sorry, I don't know the whole story, but that they may have finally cured three people with HIV.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm saying is you could be at that point.
Yes.
Had that not been that's just horrible.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.